Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I did not gut that man. I don't care. Oh boy. Gang, hey, how the hell are you? Kevin Gautier here, your old pal gutting the sacred cow. Wow, new episode. This is a doozy. This week we got David from Superhero Speak Podcast on to take on our third X-Men film, and that's Days of Future Past. Before we get to it, want to start off by saying thank you all for making last March our second biggest download month ever. We cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time and all the kind words you're saying. Guess what? We're now on the Metaverse in Facebook. How cool is that? Metaverse. Go find us in the joke with a dollar sign comedy club room. We're there. Looks like every Monday from now on. So now we're in the Metaverse. So when you're done beating off, guess what? You can go watch our show and have some ha-has. GuttingTheSacredCow.com, GuttingTheSacredCow at gmail.com if you want to advertise with us. And without further ado, here's David attacking X-Men Days of Future Past.
Gather around, here's what I know. It's just that this cow
is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Kevin Israel named that movie.
Why am I blanking on the name of the movie? So, Field of Dreams.
There you go. I was going to say, holy shit.
Some people
I almost said, if you build it, they will come. And I was like, that's not the name.
No.
Thanks for the softball, Kev. I needed to break my 0-27 record right now.
The crowd loves it. The crowd also loves us. Kevin Gautier, Kevin Israel, back again. We are hoping you have enjoyed. Oh, it's been an unbelievable streak of films that people have chosen of late. Return of the Jedi, Back to the Future, and of course, our live show, Office Space. These films, and people complain that all your good ones are taken. No, they are not. There are still a mountain of films left. David Markowski is our guest today. David, how's it going, pal? What are you up to?
Not much. I'm excited to be here. Always love to talk superhero movies with fellow fans. And if I any chance I can to take down any X-Men film, I will.
So I have to
I'm
ask.
Excited for this.
I have to ask: are you in Task Friends? That's a yes.
No,
that was a maniacal, like, where we're like arch enemy friends, like
frenemies.
I mean, in all honesty, I've always been a Marvel guy. I grew up loving the comics, and of course the X-Men were our first big screen introduction movies for Marvel. It was the X-Men movies in 2000, and looking back on them, they were Wolverine movies that happened to have a couple ancillary characters supporting them that happened to be X-Men. Like,
yeah. I was okay with that.
Yeah. And Task is on this podcast twice. He's done X-Men 1 and X-Men 2. You were the first one to jump to the newer X-Men film. So, and as we've alluded to, David has chosen X-Men Days of Future Past, arguably the best of the bunch. Or is it? 2014 budget, $200 million. Box office haul, $746 million. Turn that into 20... What's that?
I believe that's the highest grossing one.
I believe
of all the X movies.
I believe you're right. And now 2022 money, $239.6 million budget, $894 gross.
It's not too bad.
No, we almost got into the Avengers realm. We're about
which it shows you. I don't know what the numbers were. PS newer generation movies, but it shows you how much bringing Wolverine into the new into that like new cast impacted the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. IMDb, as we all know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. David, what do you think that X-Men: Days of Future Past scored on IMDb?
I'll say 8.5.
Kevin Israel.
8 flat.
And we've got one of you is dead nuts on, and that is my co-host, 8 flats for Days of Future Past on IMDb. Look at him.
Sometimes. This is a great episode for me so far.
Fantastic. Nail on the quote, get one of them dead nuts. Look at you. Listen, I don't ever care buying lottery tickets because that's for the mathematically retarded. But so far, why not?
Everything's coming up, Kevin.
Yeah, there it is. Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100. Kevin Israel, you're up first. What did the critics give Days of Future Past?
72.
David.
I'll say 74.
90.
Really? Oh, wow.
Wow.
Loved it. How about the audience score, David? Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100.
A lot of people love this movie. I'm going to say somewhere in that range, so 95.
Kevin Israel?
Yeah, see, I'm worried that this is going to be one of those situations where the critic, where it's flip-flopped, because I would have thought it was the other way. So I'm going to go 88.
91.
Oh, I'm
loved universally. Quotes, I'm going to say to you what you told me. Fuck off. Oh, come on. You knew that was happening.
That's the only one.
Well, there's one more I kind of chuckled at because it's a song lyric. I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Oh, God, yes.
James Brown. Kev, any other quotes or is that all?
The only other quote I enjoyed or I chuckled at was, I mean, I slept with her many times.
Yeah. David, any quotes jump out at you?
The only quote, and it's the moment that completely destroys the entire franchise for me, is when Wolverine says to Xavier, use your powers and find us. There's a lot of us that need you. So more on that later.
Oh, boy. That is a true tease.
I like that he understands that he doesn't need to get into his argument right
now.
Yeah. People who get the format.
Right before you jumped on, he was saying he was listening to the last episode with Return of the Jedi because he knows those two. He knows Tiff and
Montego.
Montego, that's it. 5 fun facts.
5 fun facts. 5 fun facts.
Get ready to nerd out the two of you. In the original comic storyline, other Marvel heroes other than X-Men are wiped out by the Sentinels, such as, do you guys even know this? This is a little trivia. Do you know who was wiped out by the Sentinels?
Huh.
One of them shocked the shit out of me.
Was it some of the Avengers, I think?
I know that.
1, 2, 3 Avengers.
It's been a while since I read it.
Spider-Man? Spider-Man was killed by the...
Yep, he was killed.
Was it Fantastic Four?
Yep. That's another one, another group.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Sentinels, they basically, in the storyline of Days of Future Past, they basically wiped out everybody.
I was about to say Hulk, right?
Hulk is that's the one that shocked me. I'm floored that they got the Hulk. I'll round it out. Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Iron Man, and Silver Surfer.
That's right.
Silver Surfer is pretty. That's impressive.
Yeah. According to Bryan Singer, he had a 2-hour discussion with James Cameron to discuss time travel films about how to make time travel concept feasible and workable within the film. The concept.
And then he was like, fuck it. I'm making this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
The concepts the two discussed included quantum physics, alternate universes, and string theory.
How many narcotics and hallucinogens were involved in that conversation?
Yeah.
Too many.
The script called for Logan to wake up in 1973 in boxer shorts. Hugh Jackman vetoed this in favor of waking up nude, saying, in Australia, if you're next to a really good-looking girl, you're not getting out with boxer shorts or briefs on. How about any country, if that's the case, Hugh Jackman? Or maybe
he also said, I just spent a year and a half getting jacked as fuck. Yeah. Everybody's going to want to see this.
Yeah. I can crunch walnuts with my butt cheeks. Pucker up, buttercup. When Wolverine wakes up in the past, the woman in bed with him calls him Jimmy. According to the comics, Wolverine's name at birth was
James Howlett.
Yep, there you go. As his birth father was Thomas Logan, he inherited that surname. This is the longest fun fact, but I found this quite fetching. Quicksilver had been previously discussed as a potential character in both X-Men: The Last Stand and The Avengers, but legal complexities over the license to the character resulted in his omission from both movies. However, in 2013, Marvel and Fox, announced a resolution to the previous legal issues and that Quicksilver would appear in this movie as well as an Avengers sequel. Though under certain parameters, no reference to Quicksilver's membership in the Avengers can be made into an X-Men movie, and no allusion to his relations to X-Men or Magneto, the character's father, can be made in an Avengers movie. The rights agreement between Fox and Marvel even go as far as to stipulate the character cannot be referred to as a mutant in any Marvel film. Additionally, the day after the announcement of Peter's casting, Marvel and Fox entered into a legal standoff into provisions of the rights agreement for the character, including the issue of whether Peter should be allowed to portray Quicksilver in any other movie outside of the X-Men franchise, possibly necessitating another actor to play Quicksilver in any Marvel movie, resulting in two different versions of the same character appearing in two different, completely different franchises. Ultimately, Fox and Marvel decided to cast different actors in the part for X-Men and Avengers movies, with Aaron Taylor-Johnson taking on the role in the latter sequel, thus preventing any connection between the two franchises and keeping the X-Men confined to a separate universe from those of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And the party of the first part shall tell the party of the second part at no time sooner than 12 o'clock, but later than 12:01. And now all of that is moot.
Yeah, I was about to say. And then Disney said, screw it, I'll just buy Fox, and now we own
Disney
it all.
Disney just threw its dick on the table and was like, look at this.
And now it's time for everyone's Ask Question to David Markowski. It's time for Ask a Gutter. Ask a Gutter. Gotta ask a gutter. For at Superhero Speak, this is from Brandon Oglesby at Newark Knight. What was the biggest comic book sin, Logan being sent back instead of Kitty or Xavier being able to walk?
Wow. That's a good one. Both of them, I think, hurt the movie, but I think Logan being sent back is, to me, the bigger sin, as opposed to Kitty, because that gets right off into one of my issues with the whole thing is,
all right, okay,
all of a sudden...
Save it for the issue. Okay, got it.
All right.
Next one at Lord Snurts. Kudos for taking on one of the good X-Men movies. Who's your favorite mutant? How do the movies fail at the portrayal of said character? For example, Archangel is a complete badass in the comics. In the movies, he's a background character or a henchman. So who's your favorite movie, a mutant, and how do the movies fail at the portrayal of said favorite character?
I think I would go with Bobby, Iceman, in the movies, because he's relegated to a background character, where he's, in the comics, he's usually written as like a teenager who's like full of life and usually the upbeat character, especially in all the early X-Men books. And, he was just background character, and then they killed him multiple times in this movie. So
gotcha. Bango 2331, no questions this time, just excited for the X-Men episode. I like both of the first class movies. And Matt Dawson writes, that's right, we only acknowledge the first two. Fair point. Next one, at Ken Bjorn Turner. Gah, I hated the Sentinel in Days of Futures Past. We waited years and years for them to appear in the movies, and they gave us those craptastic things. I know they have to make changes from comics to movies, but damn it, I'm still waiting for a movie that copies the look of the Sentinels from the 90s animated series.
Agreed.
for superheroes speak, if you could pick the main villain for Disney's first X-Men movie, who would it be? Says Taco Shirt Krillin.
That's a tough one. I don't know if they're going to do Magneto since they've done him. They've done Apocalypse. Mr. Sinister would be cool, but I don't know if they would get away with him. So, yeah. No, I'll say Mr. Sinister. I'd like to see how they pull that off. But if you're reintroducing the X-Men, it's hard to have someone that powerful that quick.
So. And at Lord Snurt says, and why is the correct answer Mr. Sinister? So you are tapped right into that to this universe.
I feel like the fan base has been champing at the bit, as Kevin Gauthier likes to say.
Yes.
for so long to get Mr. Sinister in. And yeah. I think the average movie going audience, and I think that's one of the reasons they always pick the characters they do, is how easily could the average movie going audience digest a character? And I think Mr. Sinister would be a tough swallow.
I know nothing of him. This is not my forte as much as it is the two of yours. So, is that the Sinister Six guy? Is that, I assume, the case?
No, he's another mutant, very powerful mutant. And it's funny too, because I used to think that, and then they introduced the multiverse, and I'm like, anything's on the table now. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I think we've come a long way in what an audience can handle, mm-hmm. as far as just wackiness of in comic books go. But I'm sure we'll see him. They'll obviously redesign him because he looks.
Oh yeah,
his look wouldn't work in the real world, three dimensions.
How about Sabretooth? How about we do him right this time?
Sabretooth would be great. I mean, Sabretooth's a great character. I think
they got closer to him in
with
the
Liev
first
Shriver.
Yeah, in the first X-Men movie.
No, that was Liev Shriver. That was Taylor. What was his name?
Physically.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes, the look was good. The characterization. I don't know. Too much of being Logan's brother, I thought.
Or Omega Red. Is that another one that we would get?
Omega Red would be good. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess not. I'll go fuck myself. Okay. That's going to do it for this section of Ask a Gutter. So before we get to David Markowski talking about why he hates Days of Future Past, Kevin, let's talk about something that we all can agree is fantastic, and that's Athletic Greens. You know them. You love them. You drink them every morning. I know I do, because I love how it's one-stop shopping and just less than $3 a day for all those multivitamins. Was it 30 multivitamins and such? I mean, what a deal is that? Kevin, what about you? What makes Athletic Greens so important
your day? It's convenient. It's easy to take. You just take it in the morning with a cold glass of water. It's just a quick shot. And it tastes good, which is crazy because so many supplements are awful to drink that you usually have to hold your nose. But Athletic Greens tastes good. It tastes like it's a healthy drink, but it doesn't taste horrible like chalk or like bark. So that's a huge plus for it.
Over 7,000 five-star reviews can't be wrong. I mean, the creator decided to start his own concoction after trying $100 worth out on his own version of supplements and found out this is a hell of a lot better. It's keto-friendly, vegan-friendly, non-GMO, sugar-free, all that good stuff. AthleticGreens.com is giving you, the listener, 5 free travel packs and a year supply free of vitamin D. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/GTSC. That's athleticgreens.com/GTSC. Kevin Israel, let's Sabretooth out of this cage and thrash around and maybe do a berserker barrage on it. So time for David Markowski to
got
the sacred cow.
You guys practice that a lot, don't you?
We get it right at the live shows. That's twice a year. twice in 2 years, excuse me.
Yeah, it sounds better without the internet fucking it up.
All right, so any particular format you want this in? Or
Just don't read it like you're reading a manifesto.
Oh, I'm not. This is all off the cuff. So
okay.
I definitely want to start with the fact, something I already said is, my issue, especially with a lot of the early X-Men movies, is they weren't X-Men movies. They were Wolverine movies with ancillary X-Men characters in the background. And that just, don't get me wrong. Like a lot of people, Logan's always been one of my favorite X-Men, but you know, if you're going to do multiple movies, you can change the focus around. That being said, the other problem is by the time we got to the third movie, they already killed off Scott, they killed off Jean, they killed off a couple, Professor X, though they gave us the teaser at the end that made it seem like he was still alive, and then said, all right, now we're going first class, we're going into the past. And that movie did not make as much as the other X movies. Thus, this is why Days of Future Past exists. I don't think a lot of people realize the only reason they made that movie is like, okay, we're going to reset the X-Men timeline now so that we can tell all new stories with a whole new cast, and we're going to bridge the old cast and the new cast. Just like, you know, what was it? Star Trek Generations. And we all remember how great that movie was. So that's my first major problem, is that I don't think the movie needed to exist. I think they could have just started over with a whole new cast and just pretend the other ones didn't exist. They were afraid they were going to lose too much money. So, all right, let's do this. Then, of course, the first major sin, they send Wolverine back instead of Kitty Pryde. They had a chance to focus on a different character, but nope. Everyone loves Logan. Everyone loves Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. We're going to send him back instead of Kitty Pryde. But we're going to use Kitty Pryde to send him back. So all of a sudden, she's got a power she's never had before, ever, in any comic, in any story, ever. Oh, all of a sudden, she can send people back in time. And, oh, I can only send them back a few days, but now all of a sudden, I can send him back decades. Which brings me to my second problem with the movie. The original storyline, I believe it is 2012 or 2013, is the future, and they send him back to 85, I believe. 85, early 80s. So it's not as big of a leap, where now Days of Future Past is actually set next year, everyone, just so you know, 2023, look out for Sentinels. Because, you know, with everything else going on in the world, that's all we need are more Sentinels. And then sends him all the way back to the 70s. And I feel the only reason they wrote it that way is to make the gap makes sense by using Wolverine, the only character who would be alive back then. But they didn't use Sentinels at all in the original X movies. You got one quick shot of it in a Danger Room scene. You got a head. That was it. They never really talked about Sentinels. Never mentioned them. So you could have said the Sentinels were invented in, you know, 1998. And they didn't have to go back that far, and they could have used any of the characters, but nope, had to use Logan.
You're right. But if they sent them back to a time shortly after the original series, the original trilogy, they wouldn't have been able to use McAvoy and all them, which is, it wasn't as much about Wolverine in that sense as they wanted to use the first class cast for most of this movie.
And how old is Magneto supposed to be by the time we get to 2023, by the way?
He's like 100.
Yeah, exactly. That works out so well. Something that they don't ever address. And so thus, sending Wolverine back, again, making him the most important character ever in the X-Men universe, not Professor X, Wolverine, because now Wolverine inspires Professor X to pick himself back up because he's so sad about losing his ability to walk, and he can't do anything anymore. So Wolverine helps him, saves him, and inspires him to find the X-Men by the end of the movie. And then by the time we get to the end, they make him unimportant in the final act of the movie. He gets thrown into a lake. So why? Then why did we have all this tension at the end? Oh, are they going to make it or not? Like, we didn't need Wolverine at that point. So the future should have reset right at that point. Once Wolverine was underwater, like, we didn't need to see anymore. That was such a annoying part of the movie. I thought it was such a waste. And then finally, you mentioned James Cameron. So we had Terminator 2. And the original Days of Future Past comic both share something in common, I thought, is exactly what you should do in a time travel movie. At the end of the story, they don't go back and show you what happens in the future. They leave it wide open. Anything's possible, any interpretation, but no, we go and show you that everyone had a happy ending. Jean's back. No, we don't know why. Scott's still alive. We don't know why. Beast is there. Yeah, everyone's happy. Like, okay, but we were not going to explain it. Just we have our happy ending. And it was just like, yeah, no.
Well, it's a happy ending until Professor X has some kind of breakdown and kills all the mutants. And then you get Logan.
Yes. And then you have your happy ending there. But then Logan makes absolutely no sense when you try to tie it into Days of the Future Past. So in the idea of creating a movie to tie two casts together to reset the X-Men universe, you completely destroyed all timelines you set up in your first three movies, and it makes it a completely pointless movie. And that's why I don't like the movie.
Wow. You know why I like this review and this assassination attempt? Brevity.
Succinct. I like succinct.
Me too.
I've been thinking about it for a week.
You filtered the shit out of it, and goddamn, I'm a sucker for filtering. Give me a number 1 through 10 of your score on this film.
And that's the thing, too. I also want to point this out. In all honesty, at the time when the movie came out, I, like everyone else, I was like, oh, they're taking a comic book story and they're bringing it to life, finally using a story. They made some changes, blah, blah, blah. I would have said 8 out of 10 back then. Now looking at how they're doing comic book movies and how everything has changed, and I don't see Marvel pulling off a movie like this just to like appease old fans and new fans. I would say I'll still be fair because a lot of people like it. I'm going to say a 5.
Well, don't be fair because people like it. Be fair if you do or don't like it.
All right, a 4.
Okay, see? Why do I have to coach their true score? Why does it always take me a minute to coach the real score?
You have
score
to make people feel okay with hating something.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to have a lot of fans on my show mad at me after they listen to this. So.
Excellent. That's the goal.
Well, so, go ahead.
One of the guys who works for our website, who writes our comic reviews, he's a huge X-Men fan. And he says this a lot, and it's so true, that X-Men fans are continuity whores because it's so important in the X-Men storylines. They're very true to them. So it's like, exactly. So how can you like this movie? Because they went and said, continuity doesn't matter. We're resetting. They pulled a crisis DC event in their movie so they could reset them. So, you know, he's like, you have a point. And I also said, do you ever use Wolverine too much? He's like, yeah, you got a point. So I got an X-Men fan who loves this movie to agree with me. So I have to have good points.
Well, as a resident expert in this subject matter in this podcast, Kevin Israel, you, sir, are going first.
Thank you. So first of all, I agree with a lot of what David said. This movie did a great job in something that the first trilogy had struggled with, is really making the world feel interesting and real, mm-hmm. and making the characters feel like 360 degree, three dimensional people. Like the first, especially the first movie, the first X-Men, which we did on the podcast, feels very cartoonish when you go back and watch it. And it feels very, it's almost ridiculous. And then the next two, the second one was better than the first, but the characters still feel very awkward. And the third one was a disaster. So this, when they brought in, but they cast so well, there were so many, I mean, Professor X, Patrick Stewart as Professor X is mm-hmm. fantastic. I mean, he was built to be this character. And Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, for all of his physical appearance incorrectness, he really, really made Wolverine his own. James McAvoy did a great, I mean, they did such a good job with casting that it almost felt like this movie finally took advantage of the whole cast. The thing I love about this movie is the individual scenes. The opening fight in the future is fantastic. It's so cool get to watch all these different mutants with all these different powers use their powers to fight together, to fight in an interesting way, to fight in ways that you've never seen before. It was a really, really, it's really good fight in the beginning. Then you flash to Wolverine waking up in the past. That's another fantastic scene. And one of my I'm a huge Wolverine fan. I started reading Wolverine when I was 12 in 1988, when he got his Owen series. So Wolverine is really what brought me into comics. And for me, the fact that they're Wolverine centric, like, I can't complain about that. I think he's the most interesting X-Men. He's one of the X-Men that they've really explored the most deeply in the story, and almost all stories in the books and the comic books and the cartoons. They always seem to make Wolverine be the most interesting, because number one, his power, he's kind of the least powerful. He's the one you can kind of equate to the most. Mm-hmm. He heals quick and he's got claws. Like, you can wrap your head around that. You can't wrap your head around controlling magic or being able to read everybody in the world's minds. So I think for an audience, he's the one that you can most go, okay, I could believe that guy exists. But so when Wolverine wakes up, and that whole scene, that fight scene is fantastic, because Wolverine finally gets to be Wolverine. Up until now, Wolverine's never really been Wolverine, because the movies weren't rated correctly. You got a guy with blades in his hands, but there's never any blood. He's never really stabbing anybody. But now we get to see Wolverine be Wolverine. And it was that scene was a lot of fun. The scene, even where he goes to the X mansion, and you get to see his interaction with Beast and with Xavier, that dragged a little bit, but it was still interesting to see Wolverine and Hugh Jackman kind of go from, you know, dealing with the original X-Men to now in this new situation. And so each individual kind of scene in this movie is fun to watch. It almost plays out like a little play that I think this movie, and, you know, Kev always talks about the remote test. And for me, this movie passed the remote test, because almost any scene to me is entertaining, and it's fun to watch. And they do, you know, obviously the Quicksilver scene, the slow motion scene, fantastically done, probably the best speedster scene that we've seen in a movie. They tried to recapture that in the Snyder cut with the Flash, and it wasn't the same. It was just done so well and so much fun. It looks like fun. You believe this character's having fun doing it, and he enjoys his powers. And there's a lot to be said for that. What are you going to say, David? I feel like
That was the thing. That was one of the points I forgot, is we finally got one of the twins. We get Quicksilver. No explanation of who he is or anything. Just, hey, I know a guy. They go to his house. He helps them, and then that's it. And then we're done with
it. Like, and they just say goodbye. Like, why didn't they bring him with them? Like,
right.
He seems like he would have been useful continuing on. Well, so that gets to the downside of this movie. The last third of this movie, I don't want to say it drags, but the continuity issues and the story, the overall narrative problems throughout the movie really start to pile up. And suddenly you have this big mess at the end that they've just kind of got to work their way through. And they just go, well, this stuff happens, and don't worry about why it happens. And I'll blame a lot of this on Mystique and Jennifer Lawrence. She was a terrible character. Not Mystique. Mystique is a great character. The character they created in the X-Men for Mystique with Jennifer Lawrence was terrible. It wasn't really like the character in the comic books, first of all. And she just didn't make sense. She started out this friend of Charles's, which was kind of interesting, but then she goes bad, but then she gets really bad. And it's like, you never see why this all happens to her. And really, what's her motivation to suddenly be like that? Like, she goes and she saves those mutants. That was a cool scene where she goes and saves the mutants. But first of all, is she super strong? What are her powers? Because she's a ninja and she can become anybody. And I almost think that comic book movies, especially, you know, with superpowered superheroes, need to establish that all superpowered beings are stronger and more resilient than everybody else, regardless of their superpower. Because at least if you said that, you'd go, okay, that's why she's able to hold this guy up against the wall with her foot. Like, she's, you know, an athletic woman, and she's holding a special forces guy. I get, like, it's what are her powers? Well, but beyond that, the whole movie is motivated by her action, by her killing Trask sets this whole thing off. So why couldn't they just go find her and knock her the fuck out? If they just went and found her and, like, put her in a bag and threw in a trunk somewhere, none of this would, they could have avoided all this. And Wolverine could have found her. Like, they didn't need the whole thing that he had to go find Charles, and he had to go find Eric, and they had to work together. And that's bullshit. It's total bullshit. All they needed to do was stop her from killing Trask. And if that's what they needed to do, Wolverine should have gone and hunted her down and stopped her. That was the motivation.
You're reminding me of two really good points right there. Number one, Mystique doesn't apparently care about the laws of mass and physics at all. She can be any size, any whatever. I never understood that because I'm pretty sure in the comics, like, her clothes don't change either. Like, just her body changes, yeah. Which makes sense. And two, exactly, like, there's all this buildup of, like, Eric and Xavier becoming friends again. And, like, yes, we got to work together. And even Eric is, like, the one who's like, yes, like, forgive me. Let's be friends again. And then he's just super evil at the end. Like, yep, I'm going to twirl my mustache now and kill everyone.
Right.
And it was just like,
yeah.
Wow.
And you're absolutely right about Wolverine being completely pointless by the end of the movie. And I feel like that happens to him a lot in these movies because, again, he's a character of violence. His mm-hmm. his main power is being able to kill people. He's a murderer. And so if you're trying to make these movies that are PG-13 and you want them to end up having some kind of decent theme at the end, his resolution would be murder everybody. He's got claws in his hand. That's what he would do. He'd kill everybody. So you almost always have to take him out of the picture. It's almost like they took Thor out of before Civil War happened yep. because they were like, well, whoever has Thor is going to win. So it was almost Hulk, like you have to take Wolverine out because it's just going to get too violent. Yep. So the movie itself plays out very strangely because it starts off as a series of really cool scenes. And then once you get the Mystique factor in, the movie really starts to kind of stumble over itself because, again, the time travel, I can't believe that anybody spent any time thinking about this time travel physics in this because it doesn't make any sense.
No.
And then the movie ends. And I think it was interesting that they pulled him out of the river. But then you see her look and her eyes go yellow and his eyes go yellow and it's Mystique. And it's like, well, OK, but what does that mean? How does he end up with his adamantium?
Exactly.
How does that? She still ends up doing this? It doesn't make any sense.
She gives him to the Weapon X program. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Now, I disagree with you. I did like him waking up in the future and that moment. I really like that moment where he looks at Charles and Charles must go into his head and suddenly realizes. Now, again, it makes absolutely no sense. Why does Charles suddenly know what he went? Why does he know about this? Why does he understand that this other alternate timeline never happened? My only explanation for it is, and this is how I always looked at this movie, that this created a whole new timeline. This did not go and correct anything we'd seen beforehand. This created an entirely new timeline that we'd never seen before. And almost to what MCU is doing with the multiverse, but they didn't think the audiences could handle that. So they just said this, we don't need to explain it. But I feel like that's what it was. It was a whole new timeline that was an offshoot of the other two. And it could have led to a whole new series of movies or a past movie, whatever. But that's the only way you can explain it. So in summary, this movie is a great experience if you're willing to watch it for its individual scenes and its most of its character performances, except Mystique. And I do enjoy it. I enjoyed watching it again. I'd say 75% of the movie I really enjoyed. But that last 25% of the movie just falls apart so badly. And it's all because the narrative string that was running through this movie is so weak and so convoluted. And they were trying so hard to fix things and to rework things while keeping everything else together that the movie falls apart by the end. And it's just not a satisfying ending. And that's almost why they had to do that, him waking up in the future, just to be like, look, everything's happy. We know it didn't make sense, but everything's happy. So don't look at the man behind the curtain. And that's what we got. But I still enjoyed it. I did see a lot of a lot of the bruises and bumps in it when you start watching and analyzing a little more. But I still really enjoyed it. And I think they did Wolverine really well. They did so many characters really well that for me, the movie was enjoyable. The movie was enjoyable as a part of the whole. The whole was not, but the pieces that made it up were very enjoyable to me. So,
okay.
While not a fantastic movie and it doesn't hold up to what MCU is doing right now, it was still probably the best X-Men movie that we got so far. So for me, it's a 7.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you find how to find us, all the articles and blogs and all that stuff, blogs, whatever. That's our Patreon now, patreon.com/GTSC. For $5 a month, you get the That Doesn't Happen
movies we've watched, movie news, all that good stuff. Trailer talk. We talk about how we don't care about seeing Morbius. That's one of our topics. So that's guttingthesacredcow.com. And of course, if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, or just stop by to say hi. Notes. Well, we finally got the Colossus that we deserve for about 5 minutes only, unfortunately.
Yep.
God damn it. What a tease. And by the way, that opening battle, holy shit, not much is topping that. I completely agree with you on that one, Kevin. I even love seeing a few of the X-Men getting killed off early instead of that one random one that dies in the end because quota dictates so. What vicious Hague level of a war crime did we commit to be punished by losing Rebecca Romaine Stamos and having Jennifer Lawrence foisted upon us? We went from a 9.5 to a 5.5. Explain. You know what was the best use of time travel in this film? Going back in time to see Ellen Page with boobs again.
Oh,
that went through my head as she was putting her hands to Wolverine's head. I was like, oh yeah, she's a guy now. Mm-hmm.
This movie could be 20 minutes long. All they need to do is send Nightcrawler back in time to shove Trask in a shoebox and be done. I'm writing jokes for this one, Dave.
You better be careful or Will Smith is going to come smack you.
I'm not worried about Will Smith. I saw
it. There we go. We made it 57 minutes before we got a Will Smith reference.
Hey, I'm from Philly. I got to make the reference.
Oh, my God. You have all your teeth and speak pretty good English. That's a misnomer. That's funny. Boy.
We had a friend.
We did. We're having fun. Hey, young Stryker looks like Stifler from American Pie.
That is a fantastic call. Yes.
He does. Thank you.
He's got those crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yep. The one mutant in the tent has the ability to make people sick. This must be a great trick to induce hangovers on whomever you feel like. Hey, hon, I want to go see the new Amy Schumer movie tonight. Oh, yeah? Now we're not.
Wait, Kev, you brought up something that I forgot to mention. And I'll ask David because he'll know. Was that supposed to be Toad?
Oh, of course it was.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
What,
definitely.
Does he wear I don't remember the goggle thing. What was with the, was that just to make him look weird?
I think so. Yeah. They were just trying to because they realized most of the mutants in there had things where you could see just looking at them, they were mutants. I think that was why they did that. But they didn't get Ray Park back to do them. So
right. Well, you know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning.
Oh, you couldn't wait to work that one in. Thank you. Who was the one guy who was in First Class who was in that tent scene? The blonde kid. I forgot what character he was.
Havoc.
Yeah. Havoc. Okay.
That's Cyclops' brother.
Yep. Hilarious that Magneto is in jail for killing JFK. The only thing that would have been funnier is if you see him put metal or whatever in that cocktail that killed Marilyn Monroe and gone full circle.
Jesus.
I'm killing with Dave tonight, Kevin.
You found your audience.
Historical jokes, Philly jokes. I'm covering all of it. Stilfer jokes. Why make Mystique's eyes go yellow? You think after a while that she has jaundice.
Well, how are you going to know?
Yeah. The Quicksilver kitchen fight scene is a goddamn treasure and needs to be archived and the great and the best fight sing wing of all time in film's history. I don't know. The Richard Nixon mask in Point Break looked more real than Richard Nixon did in this film. He looked terrible. Terrible.
So a little aside on that, the guy, I don't know anyone's name off the top of my head, so forgive me. The guy who played Nixon, his son is in Lock and Key. He's one of the friends in Lock and Key. Mm-hmm. And he was actually on my show. So it was so funny. We were talking about that.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was one of his first big roles was his father. You can't recognize him because he's got a lot of makeup on to look like Nixon. But yeah.
I mean, I would have been very disturbed if you just knew that until the part where you said, oh, I know the guy, we had him on our show. Otherwise, I think it was a super creep. But fair, fair, sustained, understandable. I enjoy seeing the origin of William Stryker. We didn't get shit of that in X-Men 2. And goddamn, if Wolverine's the best part of X-Men 1 and he's the best part of X-Men 2, and I say Lady Deathstrike, who is criminally underrated in X-Men 2. But I love William Stryker, and I love seeing more about him in this film.
There was a tiny Lady Deathstroke nod in this movie. One of the Sentinels had the Lady Deathstroke's claws. Mm-hmm. And when you start to realize that each of those
Sentinels
had a mutant power.
Yep, yep.
You start to put it. So, yeah.
Well, no, they got the mutant power based on the mutant they were fighting, I think.
Oh, wait. So yeah. That one must have killed Lady or fought her at some point.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
absorbed her
yeah,
power.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, by the way, sorry, and this is another point. They said how it was Rogue, not Rogue. They said it was Mystique that, she can become anybody. So they get her power. That's Rogue's power. They should have killed Rogue to get this. Mm-hmm. Should have been based around Rogue and not Mystique. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Do you know there's a Rogue cut for sale to buy of this film?
Yeah, because there's a short scene with her in it.
I'm glad there's not, because boy, Anna Paquin. You know, Rogue's power is that she sucks the power out of people and whatever. Anna Paquin sucks the fun out of everything she's in for me.
Sucks the life out of scene.
Oh, she was so blah. And I'm not, listen, yeah. For all your fans of yours, I'm sure who will tune in. I am a comic book secondary, I guess. I watch the cartoons. I play the video games. I haven't read the books like you do. So I'm just a film guy into the superhero stuff. Again, you know, secondary from cartoons and video games. I did love seeing Wolverine run the emotional gamut again. That's great to see him go through those different those leaps, especially when he's flashing back to go into the alkaline lake, or what is that called? Alkaline something, right? Yeah. Alkaline lake. All right, yeah. I'm right. Got a chuckle when he walked through that metal detector without a beat. Probably one of the funniest lines in that film, next to Charles Xavier telling him to go fuck himself. That's always great. I you made a couple of good points here, and I'll get to them in a minute. But I think there is very little gristle in this storyline. Hold on till the end, though. I wish the Sentinels would have opened fire on Brett Ratner and all remaining copies of X-3, Apocalypse, and Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
I've never championed a pedophile before, but I love how Bryan Singer took the Men in Black memory neuralizer and completely dissolved X-3 right in front of our very eyes. Stroke of genius. You know, Bryan Singer did That Doesn't Happen before we did.
Yeah.
Now, if only we could do this to Indiana Jones 4, Star Wars 7, 8, and 9, and everything that Lena Dunham has done, the world will be a better place. I'm telling you, I'm going with Dave. I'm good. I have very little notes on this film because I think this is a goddamn tour de force. I love it. This is my top 10 for sure, possibly top 5 superhero films, easily the best X-Men by far. But you make good points. The last 15 minutes when he pulls up RFK Stadium out and all that horse shit in the end, that does drag. And you're both, and I said from jump, Mystique, this Mystique is blah. I liked her. Rebecca Rain just played a little bit of her here and there. It wasn't a main character, but I did not like her being one of the main characters in this. I don't want that. I want the main characters. I want a heavy dose of them post-haste. What else did I have here? Best X-Men film by far. You get new ones and the old ones that you never got in any other films. You get true impending doom in this one. Everyone else like, this is going to work out. Like, people are fucking dying left and right in the first fucking 10 minutes. How many X-Men get wasted? 7, 6, something like that. Love that. This hits on all notes. It easily passes the remote test. I mean, again, the action scenes, the Quicksilver scene, the banter. I love the shit out of this film. Like I said, Izzy passed the remote test. This is, I'll knock it down half a point for those 2 points you guys convinced me of. 8 out of 10. I love this one. This is not even close. X-Men 2 is the second best one. And then it's a vicious battle for third. Oh, sorry. X-Men First Class is in third. X First Class is second. X2 is third. And then the rest, it's a vicious race toward the bottom. 8 out of 10.
All right.
Oh, one other point you guys made I thought was great. That's another reason why I dropped it. Everyone happy at the very end, and for what reason? Except for we're all like, yay, Brett Ratner doesn't exist. But none of those characters showed the reasons why they're happy that, wait, I'm back. Why? What happened? they would address that, I would easily make the 8.5 again, or even the 9. But love this film. Let's see what the guys and girls who need to use 6-syllable words and pontificate for 8 paragraphs and just bloviate bullshit. Critics, 5-star reviews.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews.
A successful attempt to right the wrongs of The Last Stand addressed the continuity issues between the original trilogy and X-Men Origins. I noted they had not commented on the Wolverine films because they all stunk except for Logan. Oh, that's the other one too. That's in the mix. How dare I forget that one? Apparently, David does not agree on Logan. Okay. One of the darkest and most complicated stories in the Marvel Universe has been successfully translated to the screen. Despite being plagued by some familiar problems in Bryan Singer's X-Men movies, this thrilling time-traveling adventure combines the cast of two eras in the franchise for possibly the best installment yet. X-Men Days of Future Past sticks its fingers in its ears and yells, "Nah, nah, 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 I can't hear you," when it comes to preserving the continuity of a film series that has been drudging on for a mind-numbing 14 years now. Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
An appalling, bloated film. This franchise is vast and twee and over. This isn't a bad diversion, and it'll drive all the thoughts out of your head for 2 hours. But ultimately, all you can feel is the pressure as it tries to break your heart. Stop it. Stop it. You went Broken Heart, you go and trot out Apocalypse, because that had such promise, one of the baddest motherfuckers of all. And that film was worse than getting whiskey dick on your senior prom. It doesn't so much revive the franchise as it confirms that it's still breathing. Barely. How do you screw up a movie starring James McAvoy, Hugh Jackman, Michael Fassbender, Nicholas Hoult? Who the hell is Nicholas Hoult? And Peter Dinklage, to name a few? I'll give you a hint. The script.
Nicholas Hoult is a beast.
Okay. Good point. The only thing missing from that review was a spinning bow tie and a seltzer spray bottle. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
Amazon, 5-star review the booze. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews, 5-star reviews.
Yes, 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 and yes. I am such an X-Men fan. This film has been awesome. It's my favorite X-Men so far. Signed, Daniel Bryant. Wow, I thought the few wrestling fans in this room might get that. Wow, I took my daughter to see this on the big screen. We were both blown away. I have to see every comic book movie for home viewing. Why would you not see in the theater? This movie is a 10-star Marvel movie. It's the solo Wolverine we've wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Solo Wolverine.
They did that. His leather jacket in this is awesome. I can't stop looking at it in the picture behind me.
He wore it the other night to the live show.
Close. It was very close.
I know. While my internal 8th grader wanted giant robots, my internal 40-year-old thinks that may have sucked in today's day and age. They wrote a compelling story covering multiple times and timelines, the same characters with different actors that shouldn't have worked at all. And it worked almost seamlessly. And the acting quality is almost over the top. Fassbender, McAvoy, Lawrence, Page, and Dinklage, with a side of Sir Patrick McKellen, well shot, well written, outstandingly acted. Yes, please. I'm not used to all that quality in X-Men movies. This person gets excited when the new TV guide comes in mail, I bet. He's like Steve Martin and the jerk. The new phone books are here. The new phone books are here.
I'm somebody.
Johnson, Maven, R. This, in my opinion, we know it's your opinion because you're writing it, dickhead, is the best X-Men film produced and manages to fix the timeline from the awful X3 film. I can't wait for the next film with Apocalypse, who is, in my opinion, the best villain in the X-Men face. This review did not age well.
No.
Kevin and Israel, I'm going to start off at the top with your favorite, the Amazon one-star reviews.
Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews. Amazon one-star reviews.
The price to rent this movie is ridiculous. This
the same price for every movie.
Pretty much. These prices are why people pirate video. Should be 99 cents to rent an old movie.
I hate to see how he's dealing with the gas prices right now.
I just booked my flight to Vegas and had a fucking coronary because of the fuel costs.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm sure.
I'm sure that hopefully it drops and I can cancel and rebook it. Next one. Very childish. Signed, Pee Wee Herman.
That was the whole thing?
Very childish. Yes. Oh. Long one, but you know, I love these manifestos. I bought it in quotes a long time ago, but just watched it again, which means they're tracking my usage. I'm not like the millennials who just shrug their shoulders and say there is no privacy anymore. I'm not keen on people monitoring, spying, watching, or quote unquote collecting data on me. My Blu-ray player does not do that, parentheses, yet. I also came to realize in recent ISP outage that my Blu-rays, DVDs, and yes, even VHS tapes, along with the books, etc., still work when my internet connection is down. Fine. It won't work when the power is out, although that could be remedied with a generator. But I can't use my digital services, obviously. And as I understand it, these digital movie purchases have an expiration date. You lose access after some period of time. It may be 20 years, but I have plenty of videos that are old on my shelf. They may not be the latest and greatest technology, but no one is taking them away from me for a long time, longer than I'm getting these digital services anyway. And since the cost is usually about the same, as much as I hate A, having more things, quote unquote, stacking up around the house, and B, ultimately contributing more to landfills, Amazon and these other digital services seem to be forcing my hand to physical discs. Who wrote
the
Go ahead.
I love Amazon one-star reviews because they never have anything to do with the actual product that they're reviewing. It's always complaining about the service, about some the quality of something, or it was delivered to the wrong address or something stupid. Yeah,
David, boy, do I have a treat for you with two more of these fuckers. By the way, who wrote that? The ghost of Charlton Heston. You have to pry those Blu-rays from my dead cold hands. I need to get a cocktail here. Mm.
I also would like to add to that. I used to work for a company that did internet advertising, and you don't need to log in anything. They're tracking you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, we know. All I have to do is mention something, and there's a Facebook ad for it 15 minutes later.
Yep.
It's horrifying.
This movie was defective. It was like the movie did not exist in the DVD. My comment is that the UPS store close to me said it was 535 South Fawcett Street, New Lisbon, Wisconsin, 59350. Unfortunately, that is a private residence and not associated with UPS in any way. I'm now stuck with no way to return the defective DVD. I don't drive, and according to the list, the next closest UPS store is almost 40 miles away, beyond my reach. If this guy sounds like he wants to return that DVD for his $8 back, he better obey the hitchhiker rules of ass, grass, or cash. No one rides for free. And this one, this guy. All right, I'm just going to let it speak for itself. I downloaded this movie for my flight, but playback didn't work well without a Wi-Fi connection, which I thought wasn't required when downloading it to my device. So needless to say, I was movieless on a long flight. This dickbag does not know the rules of downloading, so he gave it one star. What a selfish twat. I mean,
I love people.
I don't. Especially dumb ones. Hey, Kevin Israel, did our new friend David Markowski gut the sacred cow?
David brought some amazing arguments that I 100% agree with, and I love that he was succinct and he made his point. But you know, I'm torn because I definitely don't think this movie was as good as I remembered it, or a lot of us made it out to be, because I think the overall story was weak. But I still think it stands up as probably the best X-Men movie we've gotten yet. Hopefully, the MCU will
will trash everything we've seen so far, but I think the movie stands up. So I got to say, I like you, David, but I don't think you fully got it.
I agree. I think this film, it's still, listen, I understand a few more warts in this recent viewing, but fuck it, it's still amazing. I still love it. It still will easily be my top X-Men film. Unless, like you said, MCU comes out and just does gangbuster shit. But with this one specifically, it's going to be a tall order because I really love this one. So good. David, tell the fine folks what you're up to, where we can find you, where we can check you out.
All right. Real quick before I do that, yes. I have two questions for you guys.
Please.
One of the things we always do on our podcast, when you get to a movie that's so many deep into any kind of franchise, we always ask a very important question. Can this movie stand on its own? Can you watch this movie without watching anything that came before it?
Yes. I'll tell you why I can't. Why I can't. Because my wife walks in and goes, oh, this is the best one ever. There you go.
But I know, I think his question is if you hadn't seen, that's a tough hypothetical to take all prior knowledge away. But I'd have to say you probably wouldn't enjoy this movie without knowing what the fuck was going on with the other movies. I don't think this movie could stand on its own to an uninitiated viewer. If that is your question.
I disagree.
Yes, exactly.
I understand. I think it does because the stuff that you don't know isn't that much. It's not that foundationally based where you have to know what's up.
I think the best example of that is Endgame. Like, everyone loves Endgame. But if you haven't seen a bunch of movies before that, it makes no sense on its own. So
what about Infinity
still
War?
Says though? Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's dick got rock hard. Yeah. I don't mind it.
And then my other question is just a real quick one. When they recast Wolverine, because you know they're going to.
Oh,
they're not going to do this. They're not going to do this because Disney owns them now. But would you love to see every time his blades comes out, there's some blood because that's how they do it in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the blood problem and the ratings is the PG issue, PG-13 issue. But yeah, I mean, they kind of did it. They tried to show in the first one when he rubbed his hands when the blades came out. Yeah. To suggest
hurts every time
when it happens.
Yeah.
But, It would be a nice touch, although I think it would probably get tiresome to constantly see blood dripping from his hands. But
true.
I think some nods to that would be, look, it's breaking the skin. There's going to be blood.
Right.
So it's just logic, yeah.
But he heals so fast. Who knows if the blood could, coagulate. Coagulate. I got it.
Yeah.
Who's your, now, Dave, Kevin Israel, I know your answer, and I'm pretty sure it's the same one. Who would you recast as Wolverine when this happens?
I don't know. It's funny. Like, at first I was like, no, but then after seeing Patterson as Batman, I'm like, maybe. And
are you gonna say
Radcliffe?
I was gonna say, are you gonna say Fred Berry, aka
you think Radcliffe could pull it off?
Daniel Radcliffe. A lot of people are pulling for that online now.
Yeah. What's next? Fucking Timothy Chalamet? No, he's too svelte.
That Egerton guy, Egerton.
From Kingsman.
Yeah. He's probably the best I've seen on the list. But there's some guy who apparently is in talks already. The guy who's playing Master Chief in Halo now is supposedly in talks with Marvel.
I thought you were going to say Scott Kahn, your boyfriend.
As I would love, he's too old. They're saying he's too old. But Scott Kahn would be perfect.
How about Seth Green?
Did you guys watch Miracle Workers on TBS?
No, I know what that is.
Or Horns. Like, Radcliffe is a good actor. He really is.
Oh, I know he is.
I just couldn't see him as Wolverine.
I mean, but then again,
the right height.
Yes.
So is Scott Kahn. So is everybody in fucking Hollywood. I'm 6'2". I'm a giant compared to everybody in Hollywood. Tom Cruise needs 6 phone books to stand next to me. I mean, but that motherfucker can act, and boy, does he make good films. And it is a sin that I have to wait this long for Mission Impossible 7. Dave Markowski, tell us for the first time where we can find you, what you're up to, all that good stuff.
All right. So if I haven't turned you all off, you can find my podcast. Best place to go is superheroespeak.com. You can find links to all our social media at the top of the page. Of course, the podcast every week, comic book reviews, by our good friend D Square. And yeah, also look me up on, Twitter at Superhero Speak. Actually, we're at Superhero Speak on all of the social media. So we're easy to find.
I am very, and I listen, you did not turn anybody off. I dare say I thoroughly enjoyed you. I'm sure Kevin did as well.
Absolutely. So
that,
you were great.
That would be silly talk to think that. Maybe Task is pissed because he's our resident X-Men trasher. You came in and kicked the doors down in that fucking franchise again.
And I have to say, Don, after you listen to this, I hope we can still be friends.
So. Kevin Israel?
I haven't said this before, but please leave us a 5-star rating and a couple sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. It means something to us. It helps. We love it. Goatee gets to highlight our favorite reviews, which is always fun for everyone because people, some of you guys are really creative and we love reading them. So just go on your podcast platform of choice, write a quick sentence, couple sentence review, 5-star rating. That's all it takes. And then go to kevinisrael.com and check out my upcoming dates for comedy shows and feel free to buy my album, The Struggle Is Real.
Yeah, good investment. KevinGoatee.com for similar shenanigans. I don't have an album because I'm working on this goddamn podcast day and night. Ugh. Gutting the Sacred Cow, of course, on Patreon, patreon.com/GTSC, and guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to advertise with us. And listen, tell your friends, for Christ's sakes, this is a great show. Right, David Markowski?
Yes.
Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, David Markowski, thanks for coming on, man. This was a joy having you. We're going to have you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot, David. You were great.
I love being on a show that I don't have to do all the work for.
Isn't it nice? We'll see you guys later. Take care.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.